Everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I have my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell, on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, Todd. Definitely a busy week.
It's fact, I'm up here in the Michigan studio. You're in the Traverse City studio, and we're on Skype. So everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, we want you to get over to podcastinsider.com and subscribe to that show. Make sure that if you're not subscribed and you're just listening by clicking play on the website or somewhere else, we want you to subscribe to the show. A little bit of what's going on today. We're going to have some news, best practices. We got a guest interview with Jeremy Bassetti. And this is a different type of podcast. And I think you're going to like the interview. It's called All Over the Place Podcast. Of course, we're going to have some support stuff with Mike's going to be chiming in on some stuff that's going on. But let's talk a little bit about the news and what's in the news and what's coming in the news. Of course, the Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com slate announcement is on the 10th. So if you've been participating in that, you get to find out whether or not your show made the slate that will be voted on. And voting starts a few days later after that. But Mike, sorry, you are ineligible for the Podcast Awards.
Yeah, I know. It's the same as always, you know, kind of not quite the Susan Lucci of podcasting like Dave was there for a long time.
Yeah, and even though the Podcast Awards is run by yours truly, it's not a blueberry function, but we try to make sure that people that have direct relationships with me or do shows with me are not in the running, because it just makes it look weird, like a stacked deck, so it's not possible.
Well, but to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have a chance anyway. So,
well, you never know.
You never know. You never know.
So anyway, that's what's going on with the Podcast Awards slate announcements on the 10th. And of course, I heard something, you know, this is a trend I'm starting to hear, Mike, about translating shows. iHeart made an announcement that they're going to take their top shows and they're going to translate them into six different languages. So it's not the host, it's someone else doing the translation.
Well, that would make sense, because unless the host is multilingual. But yeah, they're translating into six different languages some of their top shows. So basically they're re-recording it using a host that speaks the other language.
But isn't sometimes the show, the host, the show?
I would think so, but you know, maybe if it's just straight up information, it might work.
It just seems a little odd to me. I can't imagine someone recording this show or my personal show, because that's really about, part of it's about me. So it would be, some of it wouldn't work.
Yeah, that would be a little weird to. Well, of course, I don't have, I'm not multilingual, so I wouldn't be able to listen to the other languages, so it wouldn't really do me any good anyway, but I can't imagine, you know, somebody doing a show not in the voice of the original host.
Yeah, just to me, it's a little odd, but it is what it is, because podcasting is this personal relationship. Well, at least we hope so. We hope we have a relationship with all of you. But then if we had someone that was, well, I guess, you know, if you're just trying to get the information out there, and you and I don't speak Portuguese, and we definitely don't speak Spanish, if we had someone translate this and do it in Spanish, I guess it would be okay. But, don't know. I guess it would have to come with some disclaimers of sorts.
Right.
That it would be a, you know, re-recording of the original podcast.
Now, I could see, you know, like a video podcast, and then have it overdubbed with the other language or subtitles or whatever. That might make sense.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's an interesting move here. But anyway, that's what iHeart's going to do. Of course, they've got the budget to do it, so I guess they can. Intercom, they bought two podcast companies. Heard they spent a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. I don't know the exact number, but Intercom is, they're a radio company.
And, that's right.
And I'm sure that whatever they spent seems small to them. So we'll see.
They bought. We're both talking at once. They bought Cadence 13, and which they already had a 45% stake in. So I guess they just closed the gap and paid for the rest of it. And they bought Pineapple Street Media, which is going to be renamed to Pineapple Street Studios. So again, content play, content play, content play. All the content companies are, I guess it's a good time to own a content company.
Yeah, I suppose. And, you know, it's hard for me to understand why that is the focus of, you know, a lot of these acquisitions. You know, like when Spotify got Gimlet, you know, that, you know, Gimlet's a you know, great production house, but, you know, I don't quite understand why it is all about content. Although that, I guess that is what powers podcasting. So,
well, you know, content, you know, hosts come and go, and, you know, doing content is difficult. So it is what it is. I guess we'll see where this all falls out. But anyway, that was the purchase out there. Hey, there was also another announcement, and I don't want to give too much credence to this company because I've got some serious concerns, and I don't want to go around completely bashing a competitor, but there was an announcement of a new free podcast host.
Yep.
And I want y'all to remember, free comes at a price. This particular price is they're going to run pre-roll, post-rolls, potentially mid-rolls in your content, and you don't get to choose which ads get run around, and you don't get revenue share.
Right, you don't get any of the money. You just have to agree to let them drop an ad in wherever they think they ought to.
Yeah, and you get to run your own ads if you have ads already, but the cost of that hosting will be, you know, the ability to for them to sell ads against your content, of which you get no revenue, with the potential of going into the upper tier of stable shows later. So it's interesting strategy, but you know, you have to take ads. They're going to run it. You're going to run ads against your inventory. So, again, while people might be excited to go over there, their numbers are probably going to go way up.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, at least they'll be inflated up.
They will, because the way they count, they'll go way up for sure. So anyway, that's in the news. So just remember, free hosting comes at a price.
Yeah, I always like to say free is a lousy business model. And, you know, if it's not backed up with something substantial, if you're not paying for a product that you're using, then you are the product.
In this case, you are, because they're advertising on your content, and you might get a diaper ad or a condom ad or something, you know, some kind of weird ad against your content, and who knows if your audience is going to like that or not.
Yeah, see, if we were on that right now, I'd be mid-sentence, and then you'd hear a Geico ad.
That's right. So anyway, just beware. All right, let's talk about some best practices. Mike, you want to go into that?
Yeah, file names. A lot of podcasters that I deal with and support use very complicated file names. Very complicated file names can cause issues, especially the really long ones, especially with stats reporting on most platforms, and, you know, of course, ours is based on file names. And a lot of servers can do weird things with symbols or spaces in the file name. So, like, if I download an episode that has a question mark in it or some weird symbol, I download that on my Android device, that might report back to us that question mark or whatever symbol is some weird little ASCII character in the file name. And then on an Apple device, it might leave the space there. And on another device, it might put an underscore there in place of the space or the symbol. So that makes it so that you have multiple lines of stats. But here's kind of the guidelines that I use and that, you know, I think is a good best practices. Don't put any spaces or any symbols other than dashes or underscores. So you can have letters, numbers, dashes, or underscores. Don't start the file with anything other than a number or a letter, and don't end the file name with anything other than a number or a letter. And by the way, your file names do absolutely nothing for SEO. So simpler is better. You got to make sure they're unique. So what we do here on this show is we kind of use the date. So this show's file, when we're done with it and you're listening to it, is going to be PCI-2019-08-08.mp3. So that's going to be unique because we're not going to do another show today. So that'll keep it unique, keep it short, and very uncomplicated. On my podcast Help Desk show, I do it even a little simpler. I just go PhD123.mp3. That was my last episode. And, you know, so it's just a number. And the number is just the episode number. So it just keeps it really simple. And the simpler, the better for everybody, because you don't want apps to be able to
interpret.
Yeah, interpret, yeah, what the file name should be and report back some weird file name. It also, you know, certain devices, I've seen file names that were 200 and something characters long, and it cuts off right at a certain point and stops working on certain platforms.
128 characters it cuts off on most platforms.
Right. So, and like I said, that does nothing for your SEO. Nobody really sees those file names unless they're geeky and direct download it or something. But,
you know, and if you're doing an interview show, maybe it's your guest last name and the date or something. You know, it's some way to identify the file. What I use it for is identifying files on my own computer. I don't care about how it goes up, you know, I do use the same format. I do GNC-2019-08-08.mp3 for Geek News Central. But again, that tells me what date the show was recorded and what date I published it. So really that for me, it's for me, and it does, again, does nothing for SEO.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, most people don't see the actual file names anyway. They see the title, whatever you titled that episode. So, you know, that's more for your SEO is the title.
Yep. So let's talk about Podcast Movement next week. You and I and Mackenzie are all speaking. So you've got a session. What time's your session? What are you doing, Mike?
Well, I'm speaking twice on Wednesday. So first I'm going to be on the solutions stage, which is kind of the live stage, I guess, in the middle of the conference. Not sure how that all is going to work out, but I'll be there at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday. And then Mackenzie, myself, and a couple other people from other podcast companies, Dave Jackson from Libsyn and Shannon Martin from Podbean, we're going to do a panel, Help Us Help You. It's a thing about tech support. So hopefully it's not going to be a big complaint session. It shouldn't be, but we're going to, you know, say, hey, how to get the best tech support the quickest from whatever company you're dealing with.
And I'm going to be on Thursday. I get a busy day, so I start 10:15 on Thursday, the 15th, with the State of Podcasting panel, and then 11:30, I roll right out of that panel and go and do my ads delivery and engagement beyond the numbers session. 11:30. That, you know, I've got the big room this year because the last 2 years we've had people sitting on the floor and crawling up the walls to try to be in my session.
And it was 200 degrees in that room.
That's right, it was. I could have, it was a sauna for everyone. So that's Thursday at 11:30. And then 4:15 on Thursday, we're doing the new media show live. It's going to be broadcast live at podcastmovement.com/live. And we've got a big panel of guests. We've got some luminaries and some heavy hitters in the space. So that'll be on 4:15 on Thursday, which actually, for anyone that is not at Podcast Movement, you'll be able to watch that on the Podcast Movement website, again, live. And they're going to have a live stream going 8 hours a day each day of the conference. So if you're not in Orlando and you want to see some of the content, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I think my session might also be on the live stage, the first one.
Nice.
But I'm not sure.
So anyway, moving on here, our advanced stats is now available, and this is something that you all got to trial with the partial download reporting. That's all available. And let me talk a little bit about our strategy here. We are going to be adding more features. We got something new. It's coming in-play page tracking. So basically, what you're going to get in advanced stats is you're going to get a the ability to see where people are playing on the player, specifically the Blueberry player. You're going to be able to tell how far they listen, how long they if they scrubbed in, did they drop off. So that's coming with the advanced stats. We're going to give everyone a free trial on that as well. But the advanced stats, again, with partial reporting, is now behind a paywall. And that's a $5 add-on to hosting. It's not free for those of you on hosting or on paid stats at this time. It is a $5 add-on. We've had great response so far on people signing up for that. And I think what we are seeing is we're working on our commerce system a little bit. So there's been a few glitches while people have been ordering, right, Mike?
Yeah, it's not been too terrible, but yeah, there's a little bit of a delay from the time you order it until it's active on your account, and some people are getting a little confused between pro stats and advanced stats. So if you're on hosting, you already have pro stats, and that comes with it. So you don't need to purchase that. You go in and purchase the add-on to hosting down in the billing section. But we have pretty good instructions there if you click on the information within the stats panel there.
So there is free stats that is available to anyone. There are pro stats that is included with hosting, or you can order it separately. If you're on free stats only and using someone else for hosting, you can order pro stats. And then advanced stats is basically another tier. So I know it may sound confusing, but it's free, pro, and advanced. And then on hosting, you get pro, and you can order advanced with that for an additional $5 a month. And again, we're going to add more features to advanced stats. This is not the first, it's not the end. And basically what we are doing is soliciting ideas from you. Is there a stat that you want that we don't provide today? And you can always email us here and say, hey, this is the information I want to see. You don't provide it to me. Please give me this information, and then we'll look at that and see if it makes sense to add that as a feature. And if we put that in pro, if we put it in advanced, but a lot of stuff that's kind of high-level stuff now is going into the advanced stats. But more exciting, next week, Mike, we're introducing a new distribution partner.
Yep, we're going to be... available on Deezer, or we'll make it so that your show can be available on Deezer. And unlike another one that we added in the last year or so, you don't have to be hosting with us to submit to Deezer. You can submit to Deezer as long as you have your show listed on the Blueberry directory.
And claimed. You have to claim.
Yeah, you have to go ahead and you claim that. And so you have to set up a login account, which is free at Blueberry. And then you can go ahead and distribute to Deezer via Blueberry.
We've got one more distribution deal coming. I can't announce yet. I'm really excited about that one as well. So hopefully next week we'll be able to make that announcement. But we've got one more location your show is going to be able to be published to. If you think of a place that you would like your podcast to go that we currently don't support, let us know, and then we'll work on getting that added. But I think all our bases are covered. We're basically everyone. We are everywhere where everyone else is. So I think that's the main kicker at this point.
Sure. And you know, most of these places you can submit directly with your RSS feed, and that's how it mostly is. But there are a couple of them that have extra little requirements that your podcast host, or in our case, our directory, can help you get on.
Yeah, Deezer's one of those cases. They went to us direct deals. There's no way to independently, and you'll get the stats from Deezer, and they're not going to do pass-through. It's going to be, it is going to be pass-through, so you'll get all the stats from Deezer.
Nice.
All right, so I think we're ready to kick into the interview. Again, this is Jeremy Bassetti. The podcast is called AllOverThePlacePodcast.com. And if you like to get deep, do a deep dive on places that you travel to, except for, you know, not necessarily going to, you know, let's say you go to Hawaii and you're going to see all the, you know, the top 10 tourist attractions. That's great. But do you really get a deep dive into what Hawaii is all about, or a country or place? Well, Jeremy helps you do that, and I think you're going to enjoy this interview. We'll go ahead and kick that at this point, and we'll be back with you at the end of the interview. Hey, everyone. I want to welcome Jeremy Bassetti to Podcast Insider. Jeremy is the host of the All Over the Place podcast. Jeremy's a relatively new podcaster, so I wanted to talk with Jeremy today a little bit about, you know, everything about his show and the genesis of how he got started, and plus, you know, add in the element of how it's like to be a relative new podcaster space. But anyway, Jeremy, welcome to Podcast Insider.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we've been getting emails from different kinds of podcasters asking to be on the show, your show, to me, when I initially read a little bit about it, sound intriguing, because there's lots of people out there doing travel shows and stuff, but you're actually getting a little deeper into the weeds when it comes to people. They're going a variety of different places. Why don't, just as a introduction to your podcast, why don't you tell the audience, you know, the basic 411 of about All Over the Place podcast?
Okay, well, yeah, the All Over the Place podcast is basically a show in which I try to have conversations about travel and culture and creativity. So I'm interested in having conversations with guests who don't just travel the world, but also guests who think about their place, you know, their places within the world, and create artifacts like books and photos and blogs and essays and poems from those experiences. That's basically the guiding principle of the show.
You know, every show host has a, you know, a point in which they've found podcasting and decided to do a podcast. What really is the genesis story for your show?
It's a long story. Do you have the time?
Sure.
the short answer is basically, I'm a faculty member at a small college here in Florida, and I lead students on study abroad programs annually, and in doing so, I can see the effects of the age of Instagram on young travelers, right? The social media age of distraction and all that. So it seems to me, for some, travel is kind of a superficial thing, right? A thing where some people just, they want to see the sights, but to be seen in the sights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I belong to the camp that thinks that travel is more than just seeing sights, right? It's about insight. So, you know, those experiences leading students abroad kind of compelled me to start to have conversations with other people who derive meaning from their travels, and to, you know, to disseminate those conversations, really.
Did it irritate you that you saw the students going on these, you know, these fabulous trips abroad, and all they were really worried about was getting a selfie in front of the Eiffel Tower or something to that effect?
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, especially when we have tour guides with us who are, you know, giving lectures and talking to the students about the history of the cities and the places that we're seeing, it's a little bit aggravating to see the students distracted with, you know, with the selfie culture. But they're young, you know, and I don't want to admonish them too much, but, you know, definitely it is a little bit unsettling, especially from the perspective of an educator.
Yeah, I think when I was younger and before we even had cell phones, you know, we all had our cameras and we're trying to get pictures, but it was typically mm-hmm. of things, not of us in those, you know, because I go back and look at photo albums now, and yes, some of us still have photo albums. And those are, you know, memories that I derived when I was, as a youngster going to Washington, D.C. or different places, Gettysburg, you know, big historic places in the United States. And those were fond memories. And I learned a lot on those trips, but I can see where your frustration is. So the genesis of the show really is, okay, you really want to talk with people that when they go someplace, they become self-absorbed in everything they see, find out the inside story, I'm assuming here, and then write about it or have blogs, whatever. So very, very cool. I like this concept, because I know that there's a number of travel podcasters out there that try to do this. And, mm-hmm. But I think from your perspective is you're not necessarily the one traveling there. You're just the one talking to people that have and getting those detailed stories.
Right. So there's a great travel writer. His name is Pico Iyer. And actually he was on the show, I guess 2 episodes ago. And, you know, he talks a lot about, you know, the inner and the outer world of travel. So, you know, an important part of travel is, you know, seeing the places that you're visiting and kind of interacting with the culture that you're visiting. But it's also about this is a very important part of travel is kind of the inner transformation that occurs from travel. And so some of the podcasts on travel are very much, I guess, concerned with the outer world, right? What to do, what to see, when to do it, what to eat, where to eat, those types of questions. What I'm trying to do is to go a little bit deeper into the inner world, if that makes any sense.
So would that be, you know, not inside information, but it would be more about the soul of a community, you know, what the locals actually do versus what you do as a tourist? Because there's always, you know, having lived in Hawaii for 22 years, what we did as locals and what tourists did were often very separate and a very different experience from a culture-wise and also just, you know, seeing the true, you know, the true beauty of Hawaii. So is that where the differentiation comes?
Yeah, a little bit about that, for sure. It's not, you know, just travel for the sake of, you know, tourism and seeing the major sites, but, you know, when you've done a lot of traveling, you were in the military, no?
I was.
Yeah. So you've been around the world, and so I guess you'll be able to relate with this. And when you travel, you know, you learn things from travel, right? You derive meaning about yourself and your place in the world by traveling, or as a result of traveling. And so, I guess the conversations that I'm trying to have are conversations that that are more meaningful for the individual, as opposed to being a mere account of I did this.
Sure.
You know, I ate there, I slept here, things like that.
You know,
I'm
sorry to interject here, but I think I'm dialing into the crux of your show. I think, you know, in I'll give you an example. Spent some time in Pakistan and really was stunned to the core on some of the abject poverty. I've been in some places where the poverty was bad, but I saw some poverty in Pakistan that was just wow. I mean, shocking, and it really changed my perspective to a certain extent, and also some cultural habits that were like I couldn't even imagine seeing something like that in the United States. So from that aspect, it was kind of like this eye opening, and it made you and not even appreciate, but just understand how big of a gulf of difference it is between one location and the other. At least for me, that was some of the perspectives I picked up in that specific country. You know, the good things and bad things, but it actually kind of from a soul standpoint, changed my soul a little bit, because you're just like, wow. You know, until you see it, you can't believe it. You can tell people, but until they actually feel it, smell it, see it, they just don't know. They just can't completely comprehend.
Right. And I think that's the transformative power of travel, right? There's kind of two paths we can walk down. One, you go to Paris and you see the Eiffel Tower for the first time, and you stop in front of it because you've never realized, I guess, how large and impressive this structure is, and you know that will never leave your memory. And that's, I guess, one path. And the other path is, as you say, going to Pakistan and experiencing poverty and having, you know, this more, I guess, substantial, I would say, more meaningful transformation, a more meaningful memory, something that will stay with you for the rest of your life and kind of change the way that you just, you look at the world and you look at your own place in the world. And so those are the conversations that I'm trying, desperately trying to dial into.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I remember I've been to the, as an example, I've been to the Grand Canyon twice, once as a kid and once as an adult. And to be honest with you, my experience going to the Grand Canyon and seeing the Grand Canyon as a kid was not as wow inspiring as it was when I was an adult, because when I was an adult, went back to the Grand Canyon and saw it, I was really had this step back factor, because you realize, you know, what an absolute miracle and what it took to create the Grand Canyon, and, you know, the water dynamics and erosion, and you just, you think about, you know, from a different perspective. So I think too, at least from my travel experiences, age has caused a lot of, you know, gives me different introspections when I'm going to different places. How's your audience? You know, I always like to dig into this a little bit. How has the response been from your audience? And you've got a new show, so right. Are you getting audience response?
Yeah, so I've had a little bit of response from the audience. My show, we have 11 episodes in, so I'm very new in this space and in this world. But the response that I've received has been encouraging. It's been good. Every email I get is nice to read, especially some of the more recent conversations that I've been having, where I've been trying to curate the guests a little bit more. What's the word? I've been trying to be very self-conscious about the guests and the conversations that we've been having on as of late, and the responses to those conversations have been encouraging and very nice to see.
Well, that's good. And, you know, sometimes people do these shows or do a podcast for their own benefit. They, you know, even my show that I do, I always say I'm kind of doing it for myself first. And I did a show with my mom that was definitely, you know, her and I were doing it for us, not really for the audience, but the audience were benefactors. Where do you feel your show fits in there? Are you, you know, from these conversations, are you building destination lists that you want to go see, or what's happening there?
No destination lists. And I align with what you're saying completely, right? I'm doing this, you know, part of the motivation is, you know, my experiences with students and seeing how they're traveling. But I'm doing this in large, you know, kind of for myself. How do I put this? Well, I was a graduate student for nearly a decade. And during that time, of course, I was living a life of reading and researching and writing and kind of engaging with a larger community. And now I'm teaching at a small college in Florida. It's a teaching institution that doesn't require or, well, promote faculty to do research and to do writing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've been like missing out on the very thing that got me interested in studying cultures to begin with. So I'm doing this to the podcast to engage in a larger community, to kind of break out of my introvert shell, to have conversations about, you know, larger conversations about travel and culture, and hoping other people enjoy them as well.
So you're in a position now where you're not necessarily creating curriculum, you're delivering curriculum, but at the same time, you're not being, you know, after you've taught a course two or three times, you're like, oh my God, please, you know, kill me now, I got to do this again, right? So I can see where you've got to, you know, especially if you have a creative mind and you're trying to, you know, if nothing else, like almost stay current. This is providing that opportunity for you to do as well and feeding your brain. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of podcasters do shows for themselves. I think there's more than are probably willing to admit.
Yeah, I love how you say that, right? About feeding the brain, and you know, what you're kind of alluding to here is also kind of scratching the creative itch, right? It's something that I'm not necessarily scratching at work. I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah. So, you know, from a new podcaster perspective, mm-hmm. how has, you know, getting your show launched and, you know, how have you felt that process has been? And, you know, are you facing challenges? Are you, you know, obviously, are you worried about listener growth? You know, where are you at with your show?
Right. Wow. Yeah. So I'm trying not to look at the stats so much. I do peek at them from time to time. But I'm trying not to focus on metrics and numbers so much now. I'm just trying to kind of build I guess some episodes first. Mm-hmm. So the challenges that I've faced up to this point, I think, are challenges that everyone faces when they get into podcasting, and that has to do with spreading the word, getting the word out. So that is by far the largest challenge. Technically, it has been somewhat easy. I have experience with audio and computer tech stuff. So that aspect of it wasn't a challenge at all. And, you know, just to plug what you're doing, like the software that Blueberry has for the PowerPress makes it very, very easy to do. So I gotta give you a little plug there. But the challenges on my end have been spreading the word and marketing.
You know,
so do you have any advice?
You know, I think, though, if you look at what we've talked about already, and I think this is important for all podcasters, is that, okay, you're 11 episodes in. I've always told mm-hmm. podcasters, you're probably not going to truly find your voice until maybe you're as many as 50 episodes in, just because we're not normally behind a microphone. We're not used to doing interviews. Mm-hmm. Even I find myself doing on my personal show, you know, going and slapping myself in the head saying, well, that one wasn't as good as the last one. I could have done better. And I actually stopped looking at my stats years ago, and I do peek once in a while to see where they're at, but I don't focus on it. But I think that, you know, let's just talk about the numbers for a little bit. I always tell people, you know, they call me and they're saying, oh, I got 200 or 300 or 500 and or, you know, whatever that number may be. And my response to them always is, all right, where do you work? And in your case, you work at a university. And you probably have a supervisor that you are responsible to, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do they have under them, do you think? 20, 30?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
And probably their boss maybe is next level up, and maybe they're under 200 or 300 or 400, or maybe you're at the dean level at a university at that point. I don't know, depending on the size of the university. And I always say, well, if your boss is affecting 100 people and you're reaching 300, you know, you're effectively mm-hmm. reaching more people than your boss does. And don't tell your boss. And so, you know, and then, you know, then the scale, obviously, as you add more zeros to that number, it becomes a much bigger, if you think about an auditorium. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get my show to a 50 or 60,000 level point after a few years of hard wow. work. But I thought about, okay, what does that really look like? And I looked at, I was watching a basketball game or a football game, something, and they said, the attendance today is, you know, 56,000 people. And I'm looking at the audience, I'm like, wow.
That's my audience.
That's my audience. That's massive, you know? And I'm like kind of jumping around, you know, you're thinking how big that really is. So even though as podcasters, we have a tendency to really look at the numbers, mm-hmm. I tell new podcasters, don't worry about the new numbers. Worry about the numbers. Look at the content. Because if you build great content, the listeners are going to come. They will find you. Because what happens is people will listen to your show and they go, oh my God. And they'll know two or three people that should be listening to your show. And then they're not going to tell all their friends, because everyone has different, you know, some people like to travel a lot. Some people like to, you know, staycations. It all mm-hmm. depends on the, and they'll say, oh, I know two or three people that should listen to the show. And that's how it will grow organically. The key is really having that great content and having that message there that resonates with people. And I think that's
the conventional wisdom. Sorry for interrupting.
Sure.
Yeah, but that seems to be the conventional wisdom when you ask any kind of old timer, the podcasters who've been around for a while, you know, what should I do? What techniques do I need to, you know, to perform in order to grow? And they always say, you know, focus on the content. Content is king. Yep. Focus on that first. And the trouble is that we've been trained to focus on metrics and likes, and as if those numbers are, I guess, indicators of our value or our worth. And so it's a challenge to try to ignore that when everyone else is focusing on them so much.
That's true. And, you know, and I also, to add to that commentary, is what you're really building here with a new podcaster is, mm-hmm. one, you're building trust, you're becoming an authority. You know, at 11 episodes in, you're not necessarily the authority on this topic, but when you're 50 or 100 episodes in, you are the authority. You've heard enough stories, you've heard enough commentary to be able to come back and say, these are some definitive things that happen to people when they travel. This is how their lives are changed or how they're affected, and you're going to be able to snap off 4 or 5 really high level, but it could also go very deep into the commentary. So as a new podcaster, you're really building your authority in the space. And with that, you have to figure out how to learn to engage your audience. Mm-hmm. Even I will ask my audience, what do you think? Or what's your opinion? And I'll ask that 10 times during my show. And I might get a handful of email responses on 1 or 2 topics or something that wasn't completely related at all. So that, you know, even as a podcaster that's been doing a show now for almost 15 years, it's audiences love to listen. They don't often engage. So if you can find the secret formula to getting them to respond to your content, and again, if 1% responds, 10% wanted to, but didn't. So I think that, you know, response rates are kind of like digital ads. Every once in a while, you'll click through. And the same thing with but you have to make it so compelling. And so, and sometimes maybe a little bit controversial, that they'll want to engage and either, number one, smack you down, or number two, compliment you and said, yeah, you nailed that particular topic. So, again, from your genesis statement here and from what you've said you're doing the show for, does it matter how many people are listening?
Is that a rhetorical question? Or?
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of it is. Yeah. You know, so yeah. If you're, mm-hmm. if this is for you, the audience is a matter. Bonus, right?
Right. No, it's, yeah. So engaging the audience is something that I've been trying to do lately. My most recent episode, you know, at the very beginning, there's kind of a call to action, asking the audience, if they like the show, to leave me a comment on the show notes or to leave a positive review. So this is something that I've been starting to do, and hopefully, you know, this will drive up engagement and conversations, because ultimately, that's what I'm interested in, the conversation, mm-hmm. and the community.
So then focusing on building the community to share their same type of stories, but maybe not in the interview format. So maybe, you know, the conversation and the way you can direct a question, and being that you're trying to build a community, is as you're getting these reflections and these insights from these folks that are, you know, that you're interviewing, see if that matches up. You know, ask the audience, did you experience the same thing, or did you see this, or did you miss this while you were in this country, or, you know, did you have the same type of aha moment? And I think that will resonate with people as well, because someone's going to say, yep, I had the same experience, or nope, I missed that. I wish I would have. And many of us go back to the same travel locations. You know, we fall in love with a place and we go back 2 or 3 times or more, sometimes every year, and we don't expand. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of the world, and I know the places I don't want to ever go back to. And right. Places I do want to go to. So, I think from that perspective, while you're not necessarily doing a quote-unquote travel show, you may be setting some seeds for people that to say, maybe I should go here and check this culture out and what's going on.
I think that's a really good idea for engagement and kind of community building, asking the audience about their stories, not just what they think, but about their stories. Yeah,
because we all have, you know, if you've done almost any travel, it doesn't matter if you've traveled to the next state or the next, the next country, or you flew halfway around the world, we all have a story or two that were takeaways from those locations. And, you know, a story I always like to share, I was on my way back from a meeting somewhere. I was flying to Honolulu, and a gal was sitting next to me, and I had gotten a first class upgrade, and you feel pretty special mm-hmm. when you get that. And we were talking about Hawaii, and the young lady asked me, she said, "So what kind of money do they use in Hawaii?" And of course, I was, it set me back in my seat a little bit, because the answer is the dollar, right. And I told her, yen. We have yen in Hawaii, World War II and everything happened. We have yen there. And she, "Oh, thank you." And I just, kind of naughty, but I made that comment. And then she had apparently went to the money exchange, and the lady explained to her she didn't need to change her money. So I got a little bit of stink eye down in baggage claim. But it was one of those, and it's really not a culture story, but it's just one of those travel stories that I always talk about even years later, thinking about having, and why I was being naughty and told her yen, I don't know, but it just seemed like a good opportunity. Right. And I think that it's those kinds of things that happen to us on travel that, while one may not match what you're trying to achieve in your show, is surely a fun antidote.
I would love to hear her story, right?
And her
experience of this jerk on the plane.
That's right.
and go with her.
And then probably her introspection of, like, I should have known that Hawaii was a state mm-hmm. and we use the dollar in Hawaii. So,
right. No, it's, I guess what I'm trying to kind of spit out here is that, I'm glad that, she traveled, because it's people that, in my opinion, that don't know enough about the world. These are the people that kind of need to get out there and see it in order to really, kind of absorb the reality of the world. Right. So I'm glad that you threw it for a loop there.
I think too, from my perspective on travel, and I've been doing it for 35 years, it would change the dialogue that we have in this country a great deal if people could actually see how some people are less fortunate mm-hmm. than us. Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to live in the United States. We're very, very fortunate. There's a reason why people want to come to the United States, and I fully understand why. And once you travel outside our border to almost any country, except, maybe a developed nation, you go to any third world nation, you are going to very quickly, as long as you get off the tour bus and get off the beaten path a little bit, you're mm-hmm. going to quickly realize why very few Americans have to live at the standard that some people in other countries do. So I think from my perspective, sure. we'd be a better nation if more people could travel. And sure, maybe you can share that story more too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't even need to travel internationally to experience those things. I mean, I'm in Orlando. There's some neighborhoods in Orlando that you could, travel to and experience the same types of poverty that you would experience in the Dominican Republic.
That's
for
right.
example.
Yeah.
Right?
Two blocks from the White House. And right. yeah, it's right. And most people are too scared to go into those communities. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And so, travel isn't just about kind of the foreign or the international, but it could, some of the greatest, stories or experiences can happen from local travel as well. So I'm not particularly interested in people who simply go outside of the United States. I'm interested in talking to people who go within it as well, as Americans.
Yeah, from state to state, there's, you know, you learn a lot. And there are certain states that, you know, I used to kind of talk badly about, that now that I absolutely love going to, and I could actually live in some states I visited, you know, and had really no perception of how much cultural difference there was between one area and the other. You know, you look at Texas. I never thought I could live in Texas until I spent a lot of time in Texas. They're very warm people, very warm, very cordial, very hospitable, very, it's different. It's just a different, if you grew up in New York or, you know, where everyone's, you know, blowing their horn at each other, flipping you the bird, and you go to Texas and, come on in, sit down, and, you know, right. it's a different feel. And, and there's some places I wouldn't want to live in the United States. I couldn't live in L.A. I don't hate L.A., but I'm not, I just wouldn't fit. I would be, you know, I'd be like a pineapple put in the desert. It just wouldn't work for me. So, and some people it does, and some people it doesn't.
Yeah.
So what do you, and getting to wrap this up here, what are your, you know, what do you think the, what's your run going to be on this show? Are you going to give it a couple of years and see how it goes?
Yeah, well, I've been thinking to myself, I would love to make it to at least 50 and then reevaluate things. So kind of run, sprint to 50 and then have that serious look in the mirror at that point. I have, you know, guests that I'm scheduling in, you know, as of now. I was just having a conversation with somebody about coming on the show in October. So, you know, I'm interested in doing this for a while. I'm not going to abandon this anytime soon, but I think 50 is a good number to hit pause for a moment and to think about where it came from, where it's going, and if it's, you know, a good idea to continue.
And if you get bored of it, you can always change and do something else. So that's the beauty about the podcasting, and that there's no rules. And if you want to start a new show and abandon another, let your audience know you're doing that and switch gears. That's, you know, and if you, I've always said, once I get bored, I'm done. I'm going to change and do something else.
Todd, my show is called All Over the Place, so I have liberty to, that's to do right. what I want.
That's true.
Keep on the feed.
Yeah. Well, everyone, Jeremy's show is at alloverthepodcast.com. Jeremy, how can they reach you? What's the social outreach? What's the email?
Well, as you mentioned, it's alloverthepodcast.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Jeremy Bassetti, Bassetti. And Instagram, of course, at jeremy.bassetti. And if you want to send me an email, you can do that by sending an email to hi@alloverthepodcast.com or straight to me, right, at jeremy@alloverthepodcast.com.
I like that email address, hi@alloverthepodcast.com. All right, very good. All right, well, this has been Jeremy Bassetti and with the All Over the Podcast. And thanks for sharing your story with us, and thanks for being on Podcast Insider.
Thanks for having me on. And I'll just say, Todd, you and your crew have been very helpful behind the scenes, helping me set everything up. So I'm very appreciative of not just YouTube, but also the community that you have on Facebook and on Twitter. So thank you for your time and your help.
Oh, appreciate it, and I'm glad you have had a good experience so far. That's what we strive to do. Anyway, everyone, that was Jeremy Bassetti of alloverthepodcast.com. I want to thank Jeremy for taking time to be with me today, and of course, we'll move on and upwards here, Mike, to talking about support. What's going on in the support world right now?
Okay, well, I'm running into some issues with some web hosting for WordPress. A couple of the companies out there are really, really pushing extra security services, like Security is one of them. And what that is a firewall that is supposed to, you know, protect your website, which is all fine and good, except for they block useful things to podcasters like Apple, and which makes people very annoyed when their podcast disappears from the Apple Podcast app because their security is blocking Apple's user agent or IP addresses.
So that means you can't, your listings can't be updated in Apple.
Right. Yeah. So basically, you know, now what's funny about it is your listeners will still get it because they're subscribed to you, not Apple. But right. Your Apple listing will not update, and eventually they'll take you out because nothing's happening. They can't get to it. So if that happens, you definitely have to tell your web host that you need to unblock certain user agents, if that's how they're doing it, CF Networks. I have no idea what that stands for, but that's one of Apple's main user agents for updating their directory. And also all of Apple's IP addresses, they own the whole block of 17. So any IP address that starts with 17 dot is Apple. So if they can just open those up, if they're blocking by IP, that should help. A lot of the times, I always tell people, you're not protecting Fort Knox generally. You know, now if you have, you know, if you're taking people's credit cards and stuff on the same website you're doing your podcast, yes, you want to make sure you have pretty good security. But, you know, for just a podcast, you know, it's a public thing. So even if you do have a firewall on there, it may be that, you know, some of your users can't get to it because it's blocked by the firewall. So just be real careful with that kind of stuff.
So if they're asking you to add this additional security package, while you can do that, be aware that they may block Apple. And if they do, you don't have to be even understand what this means. If you're not technical, you need to tell
this is a little
your
geeky
web host. You need to tell your hosting provider that added the security that they need to allow the user agent CF Networks and or, and maybe to include, the IP address that all start with 17.xxx.xxx.xxx. So that's the real kicker here. Here's the key. And again, you should pay attention if you add a security feature like this to your website to make sure the stuff still works. It's on you to really keep an eye. And one thing that you can always do is use Cast Feed Validator to make sure that your feed is fine. If Cast Feed Validator can pull your feed, then it's your feed's fine. It's your web host that's doing the blocking. And by the way, I think we talked about this on the last show. We've done an update to Cast Feed Validator at castfeedvalidator.com. It's got a lot more information now when it's qualifying content and does lots of cool checks. So definitely check out castfeedvalidator.com. Anything else, Mike, that's going on in support?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add, though, is if you do have extra security, there may be a workaround if you want to leave that in place. Our service, podcastmirror.com, can possibly get around that kind of security as well. So that's another possibility if you absolutely have to have that security. But we can usually work it out, so get a hold of us at support, and we'll let you know what to do. And the last thing here, you know, I don't want to turn this into a complaint session, but a lot of people are calling or contacting our support department, and they have a chip on their shoulder right away, right off the top. You know, they are either threatening or not threatening physically or anything, but, you know, they're like, well, I'm going to do such and such if you don't fix this immediately, or, you know, whatever. But they just start out mean. And, you know, we really don't know what's going on until you tell us what's going on, and then we can investigate that.
Hey, Mike, you know what I liken it to?
Hmm.
I United lost my luggage one time, and I walked into the United lost luggage claim. Is right, you know, one of those is right off. Every airline has one right off of the baggage claim area, and there was a guy in there that was yelling at the agent behind the desk about his lost bag. Well, I'm thinking to myself, she didn't lose your bag.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the person behind the desk.
She didn't lose your bag. And then when I went up there, I was very nice to the lady because I wanted my bag back, you know. So I'm not saying that we're going to treat people differently if they're yelling at us, but, you know, a little sugar goes a long way. And you know, and Mike is the support guy. He is not the dev, or he isn't in charge of the code or the servers. He's here to help you, and the rest of the support team is here to help you as well. They get to complain at me.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun, you know, shooting stuff back and forth.
You know, Mike gets to yell at me, and the other guys, hey, this is broke, fix it, you know. And and so Mike gets to yell. You guys don't have to yell. You call Mike and say, hey,
right. Here's the problem. And, you know, we're all pretty good. You know, all the support guys we have here are pretty good at not reacting in kind. You know, we're not going to call you names back.
So, you know, let Mike yell at the rest of the team and then just, you know, and you can laugh with Mike at this. I know you're upset because you're worried about your show. Believe me, we understand. We're podcasters. But, yeah, a little sugar.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just it's one of those things that, you know, we are, you know, we totally understand. It's frustrating as hell when something goes sideways. But you know, let us help you fix it rather than, you know, we can't. You know, we didn't cause it.
Yeah, especially if it happened at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and all of us are asleep. You know, if I knew you were having an emergency, I would wake up and help you. But I don't have an internal, you know, radar that says, you know, John, customer number one is having a problem, wake up and help him. So, but we do check our, you know, messages very early. And if we see something really critical, you know, I will ping one of the team members and say, hey, can you look at this one first? So we do our best.
Right, right. You know, nobody's perfect and it's technology. So things will go sideways from time to time.
But, so we get to have fun with either the person that broke it or look at ways of fixing things that break and need to have a little more redundancy. So I think that's all.
Yeah, podcast, I think.
Podcastinsider.com is the website. Yeah, we get some more changes coming this week.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, I believe, what's the date? I think Friday. We'll see tomorrow. You guys keep an eye on blueberry.com tomorrow. I think it's going to be a little chaotic for a few days.
I can imagine it will be, but hey, you know, we got things to do, you know.
Yeah, and things to show you. So you know, keep an eye out, and there's a lot. I mean, we'll have a lot to talk about next Thursday because there's a lot of stuff that's popping,
which will be from the show. But you're speaking all day Thursday. I'm speaking all day Wednesday. So we're gonna have to find a way to sneak in a show somewhere in there.
We'll figure it out. We'll have a roadcaster with us.
Might be Friday.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll do it then. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Go over to podcastinsider.com. Get subscribed to the podcast. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I am Todd@blueberry.com. Mike?
I'm Mike@blueberry.com, and of course, support@blueberry.com if you're having an issue.
And we are definitely looking for people to interview. So if you like the format of this show and want to be interviewed, Mike's got one next week. He's going to have his interview up. And then I'm a couple ahead. So please, if you are wanting to be on and you want your story told, we want to hear from you. I think the interviews so far, the response has been fantastic. But like to hear from you. We'll have a link in the show notes on how you can contact us. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week on Podcast Insider.